Today's Shir Masechta Shkolim Daf Dalet. We will get on Daf Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. It says the Mishnah Api Sha'amru, even though we had learned in the previous Mishnah the Eim Mashkinim Noshim Avodim Ketanim, we don't force Noshim Avodim Ketanim to participate in the Machzor Shekel. Avim Shaklu, if they did participate, the Kamal B'yodam, we accept the Machzor HaShekel from them. Hanochri B'kuti Shaklu, but teaches us the Mishnah if a Nochri participated in the Machzor HaShekel or a Kuti participated in the Machzor HaShekel, there the Aloch is Eim Kablam. The Pasuk says, Miyad B'nechel Esekivu Eslechem Alekechem, B'kol Eila Ki Kamashchosim Bam, Mumbam lo yirotzu lechem. So the Nachri is excluded, and the Kutim were a people who were brought by Sancheriv to Yisrael, and they converted to Judaism because they were concerned about the Gerei Rayas. They were concerned about the lions that were coming to attack Yisrael. Because they were because of that, they did not. The question, as the Gemara will discuss, is: are they considered Jewish or not? Certainly, we don't accept from the Kutim. Kinei Zovim, when a person becomes a Zov, afterwards he has to bring a pair of birds. We don't accept those kabbanos. But kinei Zovos, if a woman becomes a Zova or Yoledes. So we just learned that we don't accept these kabbanos from a Kuti. V'chatas v'ashamas, similarly, a karm chatas or karm asham, we don't accept from kutim v'nachrim. K'zeh klal. And the Mishnah gives us a rule. Kol shen nidav v'nidav, anything that can be donated, we do accept from them. Anything which is not donated, kol shen nidav v'nidav, something which is obligated, even if it's brought to the Bet Kabbayis, Eim Kabbam Yada, we don't accept from them. It came before Shadei Ezra. The same thing is what the Pasuk teaches us by Ezra. When Klai Yisro were building the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they wanted to participate, Shenemam, and they were told, Loi Lechem V'lanu Livnes Beis HaLelkenu, it's not the right place for you to participate. It's not for you to participate in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash is only for us. So as we've discussed, every year, everybody has to give a Machzor HaShekel. And when we speak about the Machzor HaShekel, there's a kalbin, which the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, is going to describe how much is a kalbin. The Mishnah says that a kalbin, that whenever somebody gives a Machzor HaShekel, we should add a kalbin. And as we're going to see, there are two primary reasons for this halacha. One reason is because the Torah tells us that we have to give exactly a kalbin, a Machzor HaShekel. But the coin may not really be a Machzor HaShekel, it may be a little less. That's why we have to add the kalbin to be sure that it's truly a Machzor HaShekel. The other reason is that the Machzor HaShekel, as the name actually applies, is a half a shekel. And sometimes somebody gives a shekel and they want change, or sometimes the Beis HaMikdash administrators want to turn the Machzor HaShekel into a shekel. And for that you have to add a kalbin. They had to add a small amount for the fee for the money changing. And that's why Chazal said that one should add a kalbin every time they give a Machzor HaShekel. So teaches us the Mishnah, Ve'elu shechayovim b'kalbin, the following individuals, when they give to the Machzor HaShekel, have to add a kalbin, Levi'im v'Yisraelim, Geirim v'avodim shechorim, all types of Jews, Avloi kahanim, because as we learned in the previous Mishnah, we don't force the kahanim to give the Machzor HaShekel. Similarly, we don't force them to have to give the kalbin if they give the Machzor HaShekel. But Noshim Avodim Ketanim, and so too is the halacha by Noshim Avodim Ketanim. That even though, as we've learned in the previous shurim, we do accept the Machzai Shekel from Noshan Vodim Ketanim, and as I saw the Sefer, Curious Sefer from the Mabit, says, because the Machzai Shekel is a Koifer Nefesh, so anything which is a Koifer Nefesh, we want to give all parts of Klal Yisrael the opportunity to participate. But of course, the halacha is, as we also discussed in our previous year, that if somebody who is not obligated to give the Machzai Shekel contributes in the Machzai Shekel, the halacha is that they have to give it over They have to give it over to the tzibur with their full heart. And since they have to give it over to the tzibur with the whole heart, then we will know that there's no problem, even though they're not obligated. And I saw that the Avnei Nezer, in the Shalos Tshuvos Avnei Nezer, Choshe Mishpat Sim Pei Zayin, draws a distinction between Noshim Avodim Ketanim, who, as we just described, are not obligated to give the Machzai Shekel. But if they want to, they may, where the halacha is that we accept it from them, because we know that they want to have a Koifer Nefesh. And since we know they want to have a Koifer Nefesh, we could be confident that they're giving it over to the Tzibur, Yofa Yofa. But by other people, where by the Nochrim, the Kutim, where we don't have that certainty, then we shouldn't be Makabel from them. And in fact, I saw that there's some Rishonim suggest that from a Mumer or a Mechal Shabbos, they did not accept the Shkolim either. Because again, we only want to have participating in the Shkolim people who really believe in the power of the Shkolim. But on the other hand, since that they're not obligated to do this mitzvah, so therefore we are more lenient and we learned Eimah Mashkenai some. That's why we don't make them give a kalbim. And that's why explains the Meiri, that even though we paskened in our previous year that Kohanim should contribute, should give the Machzai Shekel, but that doesn't change the halacha, the Eimah Mashkenai sign. We don't force them. And since we don't force them to participate in the Machzai Shekel, the halacha therefore will be that we don't make them give a kalbim. There's a very, very interesting Rav Kiva Eger. Rav Kiva Eger points out that since our Mishnah says that women are really exempt from the chiv of Machzai Shekel, so says Rav Kiva Eger, this is a proof that women don't have to daven musaf. He says, because we know that the carbon musaf was the carbon tzibur. From the money that was brought for the Machzai Shekel money, that's what they used for the carbonat tzibur. But if we're learning that women are exempt from the Machzai Shekel, that means that they have no connection to the carbon tzibur that is brought. If they have no connection to the carbon tzibur that's brought from the Machzai Shekel, which the Korban Musaf is an example of, they shouldn't have to daven Musaf. However, the Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Al-Kharin, disagrees. He says that if we're going to take this line of reasoning, then boys who are under 20 years old, we discussed in our first year the question, if boys who are under 20 years old are obligated to give the Machzai Shekel. So then it should turn out that, according to the opinion, that boys who are under 20 years old should not have to daven Musaf, and certainly should not be allowed to be the Baal Tefillah of Musaf. But Yitzchak Khanan, and I saw the Stipler and many others, take the approach to this question, that even if we say that they're exempt from the Machzai Shekel, what that means to say is that they don't have to give the Machzai Shekel. The Torah did not require them to give the Machzai Shekel. But even though the Torah did not require that they give the Machzai Shekel, doesn't mean that they're not part of the Karban Tzibur. What it means is the carbon tzibur works for everybody, for every member of Klal Yisrael. There's just the members of Klal Yisrael that have to monetarily participate by giving the Machzai Shekel. And there's some that don't have to do so. But the carbon is for everyone, and therefore women should daven musaf, and boys over bar mitzvah should also daven musaf, and even be able to be the bali tefillah for the mitzvah. So here, our Mishnah just taught us the halacha that if, that when it comes to the machzor shekel, as we're going to discuss, everybody who was obligated in the machzor shekel also had to add a kalbon. So I saw a beautiful vart. If we think about it, and we've mentioned previously, the Torah, when it speaks about the machzor shekel, is very careful to point out ha'osher lo yarba v'adal lo yamit v'machzor shekel, that everybody has to give the exact same amount. So if we were think, if we think in those terms, here we're learning, here the Torah went out of its way to tell us that everybody should just contribute a machzor shekel, and now our Mishnah is telling us that everybody who contributes to the machzor shekel has to add a kalbon. Isn't that sort of contradictory? The answer is that it's not contradictory at all. Because what we're showing is that even though everybody has to give the same machzor shekel, when it comes to doing a mitzvah, we need to do a little better. And if the Torah says machzor shekel, as we say, we want to be sure that we're doing the mitzvah properly. How can we be certain that the mitzvah is being performed properly? By everybody giving that extra kalbon. Says the Mishnah, shekel, ayat koyin. If somebody gives a machzor shekel for a koyin, ayat isha on behalf of a woman, ayat eved on behalf of a woman, ayat cotton on behalf of a cotton, potter. That he doesn't have to give the he doesn't have to give a kalbon on their behalf. If somebody gives one whole shekel, and he says half of it should be for me, and half of it should be for my friend, he's only going to be responsible to give one kalbon. Ramey disagrees, and the Gemara will explain why, that such a person should give shnei kalbonis, he has to give two kalbonis. Hanoisin seller, if somebody gives a seller for the machzor shekel, and a seller contains two machzis shekel, and therefore the neutral shekel, so he takes back a change, chayv shnei kalbonis, one for when he gave, and one for when he took back. Hashekel ayidei oni, if somebody gives machzor shekel on behalf of a poor person, v'adei shcheino, he gives machzor shekel on behalf of his neighbor, v'adei b'nei iroi, or on behalf of someone else, potter. If he's giving a machzor shekel on behalf of someone else, Chazal say that this halacha, that we have to give a machzor shekel, that we have to add a machzor shekel, does not apply under those circumstances. V'mhilvan, but if the person is not giving the machzor shekel on behalf of someone else, he's just lending him the money, and the person on behalf of whom he's giving the machzor shekel will have to return what he laid out, then the halacha is hichai if he has to give the machzor shekel. The Mishnah taught us that if somebody gives on behalf of a kohen or a woman, he doesn't have to give the machzor shekel. So I saw the Rishonim explain that the Mishnah is teaching us that even though when they would give themselves, they would give a kalbon, when somebody's giving them on behalf of somebody else, the halacha is that you don't have to give you don't have to give the kalbon. Also, I saw that the Shaul Tshuvas Chem de Shloimeh asks, our Mishnah just discussed giving a machzor shekel on behalf of someone else. And the question is, how could somebody give a machzor shekel on behalf of somebody else? Isn't that an obligation that each one of us have to give the machzor shekel? So from here, says the Chem de Shloimeh, we see that actually the primary obligation in the machzor shekel is that there should be enough funds available for the kabbonis atzibur. And as long as the Kabban HaTzibur has the necessarily funding, then the mitzvah has been fulfilled. Although, I did see from the Sefer Gur Aryeh Yehuda and the Melamed L'Hoyel teaches us there's two obligations in the Din of Machzor Shekel. One is, as we just described, that that they should have enough. On the other hand, that the fund should have enough for the machzor, for the kabbonis. And then there's a separate mitzvah. And that's the mitzvah that every Jew has to give a machzor shekel. And what the Mishnah means to teach us, that even though somebody is giving a machzor shekel on behalf of someone else, he doesn't have to, he's fulfilling at least one element of the chiyuv, and that is the element that the Beis HaMikdash should have the funding that it needs. So I saw that the reason that we learned that if somebody gives machzor a shekel on behalf of someone else, then you don't have to add the korban. So the Mefarshim explained, we want to do whatever is possible to get people to do tzedakah. And how do we accomplish that we're able to get people to do tzedakah? Is by doing different types of things that will encourage them to give tzedakah. And one of the things that we could do to encourage them to give tzedakah is by saying, if you're going to give on behalf of someone else, then you won't have to give the cowboy. And that's going to be an excellent way to encourage them to give the machzor shekel on behalf of someone else. Which opens up an interesting discussion. Here we're learning that somebody should do on behalf of a niyam to try to give the machzor shekel on their behalf if they can't afford it themselves. The question that I saw that the Chashuki Chemed has a very interesting discussion here is the Gemara in Masechta Ksubis Daf Nun Amar Aleph, and that's the halacha that the Ramah Paskins like in Yerideya Simen Resh Mem Tes Sif Aleph. The halacha is Hamavazbez Ayivazbez Yosef Mechaymish. When somebody's giving tzedakah, you shouldn't give more than 20% for tzedakah. And the question that he discusses is, could somebody give more than 20% for tzedakah? In other words, if I'm giving tzedakah, our mishnah discussed, or I'm giving a machzor shekel on behalf of someone else, could I give it even if it represents more than 20% of my assets? So he quotes the Chafetz Chaim in a sefer Avos Chesed, who discusses this, and he gives a number of explanations when the halacha of Havim Vazbez, Ayiv Vazbez, Yosef Mechamish then doesn't apply. One explanation, he says, is that a person not only is obligated to give tzedakah, a person is supposed to seek out opportunities to give tzedakah. So that the halacha teaches us that Mevazbez, Ayiv Vazbez, Yosef Mechamish, you're not obligated to give more than 20%. But if the opportunity comes to you, there are people who come to you who are in desperate need of money, then you could give even more than a chaimish if that's what they need for their livelihood. Another condition that he sets forth is that if it's a situation where the tzedakah that you're giving is, when you who are giving the tzedakah are a person who has a set income, a set comfortable income, and you know that even if you'll give more than 20%, you will easily replenish what you spent, then the halacha is that you could give more than 20%. Another pshat, another heter he gives, is that if it's for Torah, if it's to support Lom Dei Torah, to support Torah in the world, then we could give more than 20%. He also says, look at the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hamavazbez Yosef Mechaymish. If you, Mevazbez is not even such a nice word. Hamavazbez means that I'm spending my money irresponsibly. So if somebody is giving irresponsibly, then he shouldn't give more than 20%. But if there's a one-time situation, so it means he shouldn't be doing so on a constant, regular basis. But if something comes up, a specific situation comes up that makes you want to give more because there's a specific great need, then you could give more than 20%. The Chashuki Chemin also gives two more haterim when you could give more than 20%. One, he says, is if it involves kibur of the aim, then we could spend more than 20%. And he also says that if somebody is a Baal B'tochen, if somebody is a person who has B'tochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very strong way, and he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always take care of him, then he has nothing, then he can give even more than 20%. And in fact, he says that when we think about Kala ben Yefuna, who was amongst the Meraglim that went to Yisrael, he also acted with great courage, and he took chances against people who were very much different than him. So he says that when Kaleb ben Yefuna was allowed to do so, because he was a person of tremendous bitachin. And a person who lives with such tremendous bitachin knows that whatever tzedakah he gives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay him back. And such a person could give even more than 20%. So we just learned the halacha that whenever somebody contributes to the machzor shekel, he has to add a kalbin. We also learned that when you give the machzor shekel of on behalf of somebody else, then you don't have to give a kalbin. There's one more halacha that we need to discuss, and that is the Torah Kedosha tells us that every year you have to give 10% of your animals for Maisa Behema. But there's a specific exemption which we're going to discuss in Masechta Bechairis that Shutfim, if there are people who are partners in the ownership of animals, they are not obligated to give the Maisa Behema. So if you have a situation where there are a number of brothers and the father passed away and they divided the Yerusha, they divided the inheritance, and afterwards these brothers who were Yarshim and heirs of their father, and they divided the Yerusha, recombine. So now the question is, if they're Shutfim, and one gives, and they give Matzah, and they're going to be part from Ma'is Behema, because they're Shutfim. But if they're not Shutfim, if the father's Yerusha was not divided up, so that's called Tfusas Abayis. They're just managing the existing estate that the father left. So teaches us the Mishnah. Hachan Shem Shutfim. If you have brothers whose father passed away, they divided the Yerusha, the Gemara goes into the details, and then they merge together to be partners. So the Chai B'Kalbin. When they give a Machzor Shekel, they have to give a Kalbin, like everyone who gives a Machzor Shekel, if they're taking it out from their assets that they own together. But the Beturim and Masa Behema, because the Shutfim, and Shutfim, as we just described, are not obligated in Ma'aseh Behema. If the Chayovim in Ma'aseh Behema, because they did not divide up the father's estate, and therefore it's not considered a situation of a partnership, it's still considered just the owner, under the ownership of the father, and therefore there's one owner, and the Chayiv in Ma'aseh Behema, but Beturim Mekalbin, because it's like the father is giving the, if that estate is giving the Machzor Shekel on behalf of all these brothers, so it's someone else who's giving a Machzor Shekel on my behalf. And we just learned in the Mishnah that when somebody else is giving a Machzor Shekel on my behalf, I don't have to give Ma'aser, I don't have to give a Kalbin. So we discussed the Kalbin, and once the Mishnah wants to know Kamu Kalbin, exactly how much is a Kalbin, Mar Kesef, a 12th of the Machzor Shekel, Divrei Meya, the Chamar Mechatzi Ma, which is a 24th of the Machzor Shekel. So we began the Mishnah by saying that even though we said that Noshim Avadim Ketanim are not obligated to give the Machzor Shekel, but we learned that if they gave, we accept it from them. Says the Gemara, Holot Tfoya, to demand from them to participate in the Machzor Shekel, Ein Toivim. We don't ask them, but if they gave on their own, we will accept the Machzor Shekel on their behalf. Ask the Gemara, Hocha at Omer, in the previous Mishnah it said, Toivim, and Hocha at Omer, in our Mishnah we said, Ein Toivim, that we don't even ask them. Answers the Gemara, we're talking about the Ketanim. And there's a difference in the Ketanim, Kan Shevish Deisaris, if the cotton already is Bar Mitzvah, but he's not 20 years old, then we ask them, we take the Machzor Shekel from them, we ask them for the Machzor Shekel, Kan B'Shloish Hevi Shtei Saris, but if they didn't even bring the Shtei Saris, we don't even ask for it. We learned in the Mishnah, Anochi V'Akuti, Sheshokl Eim Mekabim Hem. Amar Rabboi, so Rabboi says, Tifter, our Mishnah obviously follows the opinion that Commander Amar Kuti K'Nochri, that Kutim have a din like Nochri, and whatever will be the halacha regarding a Nochri, so too will be the halacha regarding a Kuti. For says the Gemara, the Spalgan, this is actually a subject of a machloikis, as the Brisa teaches us. Kuti kinochri divi Rebbe. According to Rebbe, the Kutim have the status of a Nochri. Rav Shimon Gamliel, oimer Kuti ki Yisrael l'chol doiver. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Kutim should have to give the Machzor Shekel. Our Mishnah, which says that they don't, obviously, is not following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Amar Reb Elezer, our Mishnah could follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Masnisa, and the way we'll explain our Mishnah, and even could follow Shimon Gamliel, who holds that Nachri, that Kuti has a din in Yisrael. Our Mishnah is speaking about Nachrim, Habakutim, but when we speak about Kutim, Loi. That din wasn't said, and we speak and we accept the Machzor Shekel from the Kutim. It says the Gemara, the Tani Kain, and the Brice, it says as well, indicates that we would accept the Machzor Shekel from a Kuti. Because the Brice explains Odom, the rabbits are Gerim. From here we see that Gerim are, we take the Machzor Shekel from Gerim. Mikem, Lahoitzi is a Mumrim. Somebody's a Mumr who doesn't follow the Torah, from him we don't take the Machzor Shekel. But from Kuti, we would take the Machzor Shekel. Of course, the Mefarshim asked the question, why do we need a special pasuk to teach us that Gerim are obligated to give in the Machzor Shekel? Why should they not be obligated to give in the Machzor Shekel? So, they're full-fledged Jews. And because of this, the Azarua, quoting Rabbeinu Yeshaya, doesn't come... the pasuk is coming to teach us regarding kabbonis that gerim bring, and the pasuk is teaching us that when a ger brings a carbon, that they have to add, they do smicha, not like nochrim. Masnisa, says the Gemara, Masnisa pliga rame Rabbi Eliezer, but as we continue learning the Mishnah, it seems that it's not like Rabbi Eliezer, because it says in the Mishnah, emakam yodim kine zovim zovus kine yodus. That we don't accept from them all these types of kabbonis for different types of tumah. Now, the question is, there's no tumah by them. Why would the Mishnah need to tell us that we don't accept these types of kabbonis from them? How do we have to explain the Mishnah? The ratio that says we're going to have to say nachrim, we're not accepting machzor shekel from nachrim, but we are accepting them from the Kutim. Sefer Bekutim, and the Sefer is coming to talk to teach about the Kutim. And says the Gemara, and Kenu, even though it's not the way we would normally explain the Mishnah, states the Gemara Kenu, that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Reisha Benachrim, the Sefer Bekutim, we're going to have to explain that the Reisha is talking about Nachrim, and the Sefer is talking about Kutim. So we discussed the halacha of accepting different donations from Nochrim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Betchila, when we come to build the Beis HaMikdash, Eim Ekamalam Loi Dovim Mesuyim, we're not allowed to accept from them anything that's identifiable. The Gemara Masech the Erechin, the Vav Amar Aleph, says that the example of a Dovim Mesuyim is that on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, they had something which was called the Kaya Oirif. They used to bring metal sheets that had pieces of metal sticking out that would prevent birds from resting on the roof on the Beis HaMikdash. So even though it's obviously not something very significant, we don't want to accept from Nachrim anything for the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we won't accept that. And also we don't accept something which is not identifiable. We wouldn't take a monetary gift from them. Once the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and we don't need to be concerned that we're going to rely on them, and then if they pull out of their commitment, we're not going to go ahead with the project of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So once the Beis HaMikdash is already standing, we will accept something like cash. We're not dependent on them. But something which is identifiable, we never want to accept from them. Because again, we don't want that our Beis HaMikdash, one somebody could point out and say, this was bought and built because of the Kutim. Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Bein B'tchila Bein B'soif, doesn't make a difference if the Beis HaMikdash is just going to be built or standing already. Eim HaKamalam Lo'idav HaMesuim Lo'idav HaShen HaMesuim. Says the Gemara, Nesnisen, our Mishnah seems to be arguing al Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that if it's already standing, we accept from them Adav HaShen HaMesuim. Because our Mishnah, the Braisa says, Emakam and Hegdish Nadoval by the Kabayas, we never accept anything from them. Pasaloi says the Gemara that the Braisa is talking about Bein Betchil Besoif, and why does the Braisa say we don't accept it from them? Because Abvad
Shadav Mesuyim, because it's talking about a Dava Mesuyim, and Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that we never accept from them a Dava Mesuyim. Rashim and Galayim, Lakisham, Ben Betchil, Ben Besayf, Emekam, Loyb, Dava Mesuyim. Masnesa Peliga, Rabbi Shimon and Lakish. Says the Gemara, we have a Brisa that argues in Rish Lakish. The Tani, the Mishnah says, in Mesech the Erechin, Hakal Shavin, everybody agrees, there it speaks about the Halach of Erechin, and the question is, what, how do we apply the halachas of Erechin to an Akum? But the Mishnah says, Hakel Shavin, Machlekes Remein Rabbi Yehuda. But it says the Mishnah, everybody's in agreement, Shein Noidrim V'Nedovim. That if an Akum says, I'm giving my value, or I'm giving the value of a Jew, I'm giving it, and we accept it. Now let's think about it. Where does that donation go? That donation goes to the Badik Abayis, and we see that we accept it from them. And it says the Gemara, Pasala, he's going to explain. So, and here we say we don't accept from them. Pasala is going to explain that it's talking about an oila, where the Torah explicitly says that we are allowed to take a carbon oila from a nachri. Ask the Gemara, Nicha Noidrim. So the word Noidrim is understandable. Oila, where the Kuti donated a carbon oila. Nidrin. But what does Nidrin mean when we speak of oila? Says the Gemara. What the Mishnah there is teaching about is Kishami Yisrael Areya Oila. A Jew makes a declaration, I'm going to donate a carbon oila. The Shama Nachri, and a Nachri heard that Jew's donation. V'omar, and he said, Mash Amazai Olai. Whatever he said, I also want to do. And the Mishnah is teaching us, since as we just learned, a Nachri can bring a carbon oila, the halacha will also be that when the Nachri brings the carbon oila, that Nachri could obligate himself and bring in the carbon oiler in this fashion. Says the Gemara, the halacha is that when a Nachri brings a carbon, the halacha is when somebody brings a carbon, he has to also bring the sochem with the carbon. And if the Nachri did not bring the sochem, or if the Nachri brought the sochem and there were leftover funds, the halacha is mois and nesachim, that leftover money, loyal klei sheres inan, they go to the klei sheres. And here we have a problem. So we're going to have now the klei sheres. We're going to have these different vessels that are being brought from the mois and nesachim of a nachri. So we have a situation where we have a dover mesuyim coming from a nachri. Nimtza maybe dover mesuyim. Answers the Gemara Heiser of Yosef Rabun. For Taninan, the Mishnah in Masech Erechin says Narochim. The Mishnah says the Narochim. Now, the question is, the same question. When the guy makes an Erech, what does the money of the Erech go to? Orchin Loyal Abedek Abayis, doesn't the funds that one obligated himself by an Erech go to the Abedek Abayis? Hechmat at Amit Taman. How do we have to explain that the Nachri, the Shemaim Humaskavin, the Nachri, when he makes this donation of an Erech, he means that he wants to contribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have this money. What do we do with it? It has to be used for the Bet Kabayis. Says the Gemara, I'm going to use the same concept here too. Kain at Omer Avhocha. Here we're going to use the same concept, but the Nachri doing an Erech. L'shemayim humskavin. He means to give, or the Moisin Nesachim. He means to give Moisin Nesachim. What happens afterwards that he boiled by the Kabayas, and since it comes by itself to by the Kabayas, that's why it's not considered a problem. My Ovidlah asked the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that since the Nachri doesn't know that it's going for by the Kabayas, that's why we could be lenient. My Ovidlah is Shlokish. But according to Rish Lakish, we're never allowed to accept a donation from a Nachri. How will he explain those Mishnayis and Masech Erech and Mishnayis and Brises that clearly indicate that we do take from a Nachri? Pasala, Rish Lakish is going to speak about it's only in a situation when he knows that he's helping in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. When the Nachri does not recognize that he's helping and the hell and the building of the base of Mikdash, then we even a Shlokish would agree that we could accept from them. Mata, that was saying, we don't take from them, Lamas Hamayim, we don't take from them to build a sewer system or to build the walls. Hashem Shenemar of Yerushalayim, Hashem Shenemar Lechem Ein Chelek, we don't want you to have a share in our building the base of Mikdash. So here we have a very interesting discussion that we're not allowed to take from the Nachrim from building of the base of Mikdash. And there's a very long and serious tshuva from the Shas of Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Ches, Simen Samech Vav, discussing under what circumstances may we take donations from an Akum. May we take donations from the Akum to build a Beis HaKnesses. And the Halacha, he says, and he quotes the Chassam Sofer, the Shas Tshuva Chassam Sofer, Yerodeyah Simen Reish Chav Ches, that even though, as we just finished learning, we don't accept donations from the Akum for the building of a Beis HaMikdash, as the Pasuk says, Loy Lechem V'lonu Livnes Beis HaLkenu, in order to build a Beis HaKnesses, it's mutter. And so is the opinion of the Kol Aryeh and the Avnei Tzedek. But, says the Tzitz Eliezer, if the Nochri has not a proper intention, an improper intention in his donation, he wants to use it for missionary purposes or other ulterior motives, then we shouldn't accept it. Furthermore, he says that even though we're being lenient in accepting gifts from the Nochrim for Beis HaMikdash, for Beis HaKnesses, he says there's a special reason not to accept money for a Nochri for Beis HaKnesses in Yerushalayim. As we just learned, Yerushalayim has its own status, and when it comes to Yerushalayim, one should not accept gifts from a Nachri. The Pasuk says, we learned in our Mishnah, that when somebody contributes to the Machzor Shekel, the halacha is that he also has to give when he has to add a korban. Says the Gemara, Masnitzin d'Rameya, the right, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya. Don Rameya. Rameya says, "Kishem shikloi Torah, just like the chiv to give a machsa shekel is a chiv deraisa, kach kalboinoi, the obligation to give a kalboin is also midaraisa. Because, kusav Rameya, that Rameya holds, benoisin shikloi shalim, that if somebody contributes a machsa shekel, so as we just finished explaining, when you give a machsa shekel, then there's no reason for any money changing to take place. You gave the right amount, there's no money changing. Still, you have to give a kalboin. Why? Says the Gemara, because Amar Meya, Kamin Matbei shall Eish, a Matbei made out of fire, Hoitzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matach HaKisei Kvoidai, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu took from the Kisei HaKovid, Vareh LaMoshe, and that's what he showed to Moshe Rabbeinu V'Amal HaZayitnu. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu that I specifically want you to give a machsa. I want you specifically to give an exact machsa shekel. But as we explained, one can never be sure that the machsa shekel that he's giving is truly a machsa shekel. And here the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a matbeya shalesh. The only way we can be certain that we're giving the right amount is by adding that kalboin. I saw that the Maral explained, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to take out the machsa shekel out of fire? So we know, we mentioned it earlier, that the machsa shekel brings a kapara for a person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing us that this matbeya, this coin, which when we think about a coin is not something that we think about in terms of being something of Kedusha. And the Torah was teaching us that this coin is the coin that will bring a kapara. And don't belittle the value of this coin. I saw the Kedusha Arim taught us that the purpose of taking a matbeya shalesh was that the Torah was trying to teach us that part of doing a mitzvah, here we're talking about the mitzvah in our Masechta of Machzor Shekel. It's not just doing the mitzvah, but it's the way you do the mitzvah. A mitzvah should be done with hislahavis. Fire represents something that's done with great excitement. When a mitzvah is done, it has to be done with excitement, like with fire, with a bren. And I saw that the Oy of Yisrael says that the reason it was fire, fire we know flickers, it jumps up and down. And the lesson of the Machsa Shekel, as we just mentioned a moment ago, the purpose of the Machsa Shekel was to be a kapara for the Chet Egel. And when Klal Yisrael did that terrible sin of the Chet Egel, they were at a very low point in where they were standing. And the Torah is teaching us that even if Chas V'Shalom, we are at a very low point, we should look at ourselves like a flickering flyer that goes up and down. And we have the opportunity that even though we're down, we could go back, jump up. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu always gives us the opportunity to jump back up and come back to our madrigas. We just have to grab the opportunity, and we could grab it even with a machzis hashekel. So we learned in the Mishnah, Nosin seh litol shekel, if somebody gave a seller to take change, chayiv shnei kabolins, he's chayiv to give two kabolins. Amr Belezer, so says Rabbi Elazar, this halacha, Dremeyer, follows the opinion of Rameyer. Dremeyer amr echad shekel shu noisin, when a person gives a shekel, he machzis a shekel, he always has to add a kabolin, as we just finished learning. And then, when he's getting change, so he has to pay the kalboin for the fee, for the changing from the seller to the machzis shekel, and therefore he has to give two kalboinis. The Tanya, El chayavim v'kalboin, hanoisin shekel v'noitel shekel, kalbon echad. The Tanya Kama says that you have to give one kalbon, and Ramey, as we just explained, will hold you'll have to give shnei kalboinis. Omar Rav, and Rav disagrees on Rebbe Lezer, and he says our Mishnah that says that Nosan Sela Litel Shekel Chayiv Shnei Kabonos actually Divrei Hakol, everybody agrees. One is that you have to give for the giving, and one is for the taking back. So since you have the exchange being done twice, that's why you have to give two Kabonos. Domer Meir, because according to Meir, Echa Shekel Shenoisen, Vekel Shekel Shenoitel, when somebody's giving a seller and taking a change, you have to give two, one for the giving and one for the getting back. And according to a Meir, you're going to have to give a third kalboin, L'divrei Torah, to give the obligation that whenever you give a Machzor Shekel, as we've been discussing over and over again, you have to add the kalboin to make sure that you're giving an exact Machzor Shekel. So according to a Meir, in this type of a situation, you would have to give three kabbonis. One kabbon, because you always have to give a kabbon, to make sure that what you are giving is a full-fledged machzor shekel. Then you're going to have to give, for the two times of changing, for the two change times, you have to give two kabbonis. Adati the Rav, shloshe kabbonis eina, you have to give three kabbonis. Also Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiyah came, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar B'Shem Rav, Shosh Kabanis Inan. Then in such a situation, you have to give three Kabanis. Echad Shekel Shu Noisin, Vekel Shekel Shu Noitel, Vekel Dvat Torah. We learned in the Mishnah, Hachem V'Shutim Shechayav B'Kalbein, Turmim Mas Behema. In a situation where Kalbein will have to be given, they won't have to give Mas Behema. Shechalku, what's the case? Where the brothers divided up the estate, V'Chazur V'Nishtatfu, and then they recombine as partners. So they're going to be potter from Maisa Behema because they're shutfim, they're partners. And as we just learned in the Mishnah, partners are not obligated to give Maisa Behema, but they're going to give kalboin because each one of us is giving a machzor shekel from money that we share. And of course, as we just finished learning, whenever you give a machzor shekel, you must add a kalboin. Chayovim b'maisa behema, in a situation that they're going to be obligated to give Maisa Behema, they're going to be Peturim in a Kalbain, is going to be speaking about Shloi Choku, that they didn't divide up the estate. So if they didn't divide up the estate, they're not partners, they're just a continuation of the father's estate. And since they're not considered partners, it's just a continuation of the estate, there's going to be a Chiv of Maisa Behema. But there will not be a Chiv of Kalbain, because it's the state that's giving on their behalf. And since it's the estate that's giving on their behalf, there is no chiv in when somebody else gives on my behalf the matzah shekel of adding a carbon. Amar Rabbi Elazar, continues the Mishnah, when we speak about that, when the brothers divided up the estate and then recombined, they're now considered partners. V'ein shechalku, that's when the division was done. G'adim k'neged t'yoshim. One brother is going to take all the sheep, and one brother is going to take all the goats. But v'tiyoshim k'neged g'dayim. In those cases, that they're considered that they divided up the estate, and then if they come back together, they're considered partners who are not mechuyev in ma'aseh behemah. Ava, if the way they divided up the estate was they took all the goats and they took all the sheep, and they divided them one to one, Gedayim k'neged Gedayim, v'tiyoshim k'neged k'dashim, huchalkim v'shar v'shoyna. This is considered a Yerusha. They're not considered as if they divided and recombined, and therefore if they recombine, it's considered a continuation of the previous situation. And if it's considered a continuation of the previous situation, it's not a partnership. If it's not a partnership, there is no din of shutfis, that they should be potter from Ma'aseh Behemah, but they will be potter if the estate pays the Matzah Shekel on their behalf from the Karban. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says, "Afil cholku k'neged gedayim k'neged diyoyim, v'k'tiyoshu k'neged gedayoshim." If they divided it straight down the middle, we don't say that this was theirs all along, and therefore when they recombine, it's just a continuation. When they recombine, kilkuchasein, it's like they're making a new business deal, and they're becoming partners at the Peturim and the Maisa. Tehi the Tanan Tamon, as we learned in Masecht Becheiros, halakuach, if somebody bought animals, the Shenitin Lebe Matana, or somebody got animals as a gift, and then he got animals, and he bought animals, and they combined into a partnership, it doesn't make a difference how they started. If right now we're partners, Potter from Ma'aseh Behemah, the Potter from Ma'aseh Behemah.